Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Welcome back to Okla Said. It is the official Okla Ed podcast, and we are so happy that you are spending time with us right now. Scott, I was on the phone with Annie earlier. Would you stop karate chopping your computer?
The Ann Beck, that Annie?
I was on the phone with the Ann Beck. The legend, the myth, the woman, she said that we have been averaging more listens than we have participants on Sunday. And so that pleases me. But I would obviously love to have all of you participating on Sundays so we have more tweets to choose from.
Wow. That. So basically what you're advocating is that people make our jobs harder. Because we read almost every one of those tweets before we put them in the thing.
I know, but if I only have, if like I find a good one three tweets in, then I can just, yeah. No, that sounded horrible.
So,
yeah, all your tweets, they're
Aaron
all amazing.
Pretty much just said.
But we do, sometimes we see the same people week after week after week. And it would be nice to have some variety. Like, okay, so as you heard, you know, we're going to talk about Rick Cobbs today. You heard in the interview, like, it looked, based on our chat, that Drew Edmondson was going to win the governorship. Because we live in a bubble in our chat. And so it would be nice to get more voices in there, and maybe even some voices that don't agree. You know, that is what creates sharper iron,
right? I think sometimes there is a lot of, oh yeah, that's the best idea I've ever heard. Oh my God, that's such a great idea. That is brilliant.
Oh, that's so good. Man. You're so smart and awesome and also good looking.
I am.
And
the hair today is on fleek. No, but I think too, we find ourselves there, but we also find ourselves sort of gritching about the same things. Not your mama arguments, but like productive argument. You know, like Todd Gregg and I have a very different opinion on requiring students to participate in two activities at school. Both good opinions, both valid, and we just disagree on that. That doesn't mean I'm going to talk bad about Todd's mom, but that means that he can provide his point of view to me, and I can provide my point of view to him, and we can either agree to disagree, or we could go, you know what, you bring up some good points, or hey, I like what you had to say, you know, and that's totally fine. I'm not going to like Todd any less for pushing back on that. Like, we need some of that. Yeah.
We need some more voices. No, I would agree, because also, and one of the things I said to her, and I'm saying it to you now, and I guess out loud to the world, because we're recording this conversation, it gets a little disenchanting sometimes doing this podcast and participating in the Okla Ed, because it feels as if policy is so disconnected from what people are saying mm-hmm. and wanting. And so I get a little disgruntled.
I totally understand that, because and we've sort of have talked all around that without specifically saying it in that way, but... you know, that comes back to teacher voice and teacher agency. Like, we're in the classrooms every day. We know what we need. We know we need to be accountable, but help us help you do that.
Right. And then she reminded me that our voices, especially with more people listening than are participating, are so necessary because people are listening, and it's as if we are walking at the Capitol mm-hmm. weekly here. So I appreciated her conversation, and I look forward to doing more podcasts for forever with you,
Scott. Wow, forever's a really long time. I know we both look really good, but forever, I don't know. But yeah, I think it's super important to participate in spaces like this. And so by the time this podcast will come out and you'll hear it, there will have been an article published on the Daily Oklahoman talking about our Sunday evening chats. So I haven't had a chance to read it yet. It's behind a paywall. So, you know, from the day that I'm recording this to when you get that, maybe that'll change. I don't know. But
right. Well, so as we've already alluded, Dr. Rick Cobb, who, you know, is the superintendent of Middell Schools, he led this Twitter chat. It was before the vote happened. We are now post-vote, so we know all the results here. But let's go ahead and talk about this anyway, because I think, you know, breaking it down can help heal us in a few places.
How's that? Although part of me is disappointed with certain aspects of the election, the other part of me is blown away by the number of people that voted, and for that I am grateful.
So. Right. Well, question one, how do you vote? Are you an in-person early voter, election day or precinct, absentee? What method do you prefer, and why do you prefer this method? So I chose Renee Bell here.
Hold it. Time out. International symbol for time out. How do you vote? No, you're reading me.
I'm telling you how I vote. I vote like Renee votes. Yeah, that's why I picked her, is because I vote like her. I'm excited. I love it. I vote in person on election day. She says, I think I like the idea of going in and being a voter. It seems more legit in person. And while it's probably not more legit, I want the sticker. Right? Because if you don't have a sticker,
by the way, I was checking out some voter day stickers. Oklahoma, come on. We can do better. Did you see the Alaska stickers for voting? Oh, they were brilliant.
No.
They had a cool looking sort of cartoon moose, and it said I voted on them. It represented sort of Alaska. It was really cool. It was and when I saw that, I was like,
I guess I just assumed that they were universal across the nation.
No, I actually found a thread that had some of the I voted stickers, and we are yet another area where Oklahoma is in the bottom 10.
All right. I will be marching on the Capitol for new I voted stickers.
And I know that, you know, in the list of things, it's really not that big of a deal, but I did see some really cool stickers.
Sure.
So I went with Sherry Gately, and she said, I vote on election day because I love wearing my sticker. I voted absentee once and felt so left out. I picked Sherry because me too. I try and vote on election day.
I got
the sticker. I did the whole absentee mail-in the ballot situation in the UPS store, mailed it for free, but it felt different. Now, having said that, I think we can modernize how we do this.
How we vote. Like, do you mean?
For time immemorial, people have stood in line in their precinct with their whatever and dropped it in a box, sure. You know. It just seems to me that we can do things in such a way as voting is not viewed as a chore. Voting is not viewed as something that, well, I have all these errands to run today and I can only wait in line for 15 or 20 minutes.
Right. Hey, I've got a really legit question here. How come my vote, which is done via Scantron, Scantron with a pin, might I add, how come it can be counted within hours and my state test scores take months to come back and must be done with a number 2 pencil? Like, I would like to know the answer to these questions.
Part of the state testing score is because there's some statistical analysis that has to be performed. And I'm just going to leave it at that, because I think the statistical analysis could probably occur fairly quickly. Okay.
Whatever. Yeah, and number 10 pencil. It has to be a number 2 pencil. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
And have you heard of rank voting? Okay, so rank voting means, like, at the primary, for a primary, it's open primary, all the candidates on one ballot, and you rank them.
Okay.
From number one is the person I want, number two is my second choice, number three is my third choice, and you rank all of those, and then you submit your ballot, and then they go through and count all the number ones, and then the bottom, you know, four are eliminated. And so they take all those votes for the bottom four, and they look at the number twos, and they put all those number twos out. And then the bottom four by vote are eliminated by tally. And then they go to the number three, and so they sort them out, and then you end up with four candidates for the general election. Yeah, so
interesting.
That can be accomplished fairly quickly in the places that do that.
But wouldn't you have double the horrible attack
No,
ads?
Because what happens is... Here's what happens. Everybody becomes less mean because they know if they can't get your top vote, they want to be your number two vote.
Oh.
Yeah. So okay. It takes away. Okay. So in places where this is occurring, it takes away some of that. Only Nazis vote for Republicans, and only those liberal gang huggers vote for Democrats. It takes away all of that super partisan, harsh language, which isn't even true, and it makes it more moderated, where people actually have dialogue, because they know that if they can't get number one, they got a shot at getting number two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
how
that's
about
interesting.
That?
I could support, you know, something like that. Well,
question two.
Three.
So,
are you ready for it?
That's my question.
No, we're skipping question two. Less Scott talk time. Aaron talk more time.
I will ask my question and be quiet. What is the most important issue for Okla Ed, no matter what the outcome of the election happens to be?
Ooh,
that was
a great question. I went with a Wes Fryer tweet on this one, and he says, we need to follow democratic processes in our Oklahoma legislature when it comes to our budget process. Our budget is still decided behind closed doors, and literally the 11th hour, legislators are shown the budget and asked to vote without time to debate. This has to change. And you know what, Wes? I agree. I agree. How can you be several months into the year before you set a budget for, you know, and I know it's, it follows, but go for it.
I have another
great
idea.
Do it. Can we just
I just have ideas. I don't know how to implement this business. Okay. I'm not a politician. I would make people mad and nothing would happen.
There is.
Oh, my goodness.
But go ahead.
So for our legislative people who are listening, here's a thought. And I've heard, so correct me if I'm wrong, but I have heard that a significant portion of the budget is untouchable for a variety of reasons. Can't touch it. You can only actually budget out this smaller part. Okay. What you couldn't see was me doing my MC Hammer slide. But
it was great. Like, we should totally put these on YouTube.
But so our legislature convenes in what? Early February? Is that when it starts, or late January, sometime around in there? So I would say vote on an established budget before March 1st. That's what you work with for the rest of the legislative session. And then and then there's no backroom, last second things.
Right. I know I've harped on this before, but it still seems ridiculous, so I'm going to harp on it again. When we got the legal use of our cane swords and daggers back, that happened before we got a budget. I'm just saying. That took time before our budget, when we got our cane swords and daggers back. So all the hobbits are so stoked now. Okay? And the samurai, the hobbits and the samurai, the old samurai, are
also
so happy.
Allowed children to apply sunscreen at school before our budget was
yes Yes. Like, I mean, there are important decisions happening.
I chose Eric Justin Bates. He's at EJB Band 21. He said, to increase and solidify funding for Oklahoma Edison to diversify our economy so it is not so dependent on oil and gas. I forgot to get the rest of the tweet. I'm going to say oil and gas.
Is it? No, it's down there. Gas.http.
Oh, there it is. Oh, okay. Yeah, oil and gas.
Anyway. Copy and paste was weird this week.
Yeah. It was weird.
Yeah.
That's a technical detail Aaron and I can talk about later. That has nothing to do with Oakland. But for real, let's have some diversification in revenue, please. Poor favor.
Thank you. Question three. Keeping your most important issue in mind, who do you want to be elected governor and why? This was the tweet I was talking about a little bit ago. If Oklahoma Ed got its say, Drew Edmondson mm-hmm. would be our governor today. But that's right. obviously not the case. So that's where I think we need a little more diversification in our chat, just saying. But everybody pretty much said Drew. Sherry Gately, though, I liked her tweet because she says, I'm not a one issue voter. At Drew for Oklahoma is not only a huge supporter of Oklahoma Ed, but he knows we're suffering in so many areas of our state. My students are affected greatly by all the cuts to all core services. We need CJ reform, access to mental health services. And I was like, yeah. And just so everybody knows, I was on the fence. I knew about Stitt's voting record, like that he'd never voted in a primary. And right. But I really did kind of like the idea of, you know, a new guy, a non-politician-ish type guy. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Somebody who wasn't necessarily going to be a game player. So I was willing to kind of put that to the side. Because I know several other people have never voted, and they're right. perfectly great people. They just have never voted. You know, hashtag don't complain to me. But I was undecided until a month ago. And then, I mean, it was, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know.
Step in there.
Well, CJ, by the way, is criminal justice. So we should clarify that, yeah.
Thanks. Right. And I've got a tweet in a little bit that's going into criminal justice, and I hope too, but go ahead.
I hope that Mr. Stitt, I hope my concerns become invalid, because he addresses some of the issues that we're facing in Oklahoma with education and right. as our communities and services impact our children. I mean, you know, there is a lot of poverty in Oklahoma that kids, you can't learn if you're food insecure. Like you can't. And so all of these things that Sherry talks about in her tweet, they come back in. I mean, oof. So I'm with Talania, the Norfar. She said, I am pretty sure everyone is going to say Edmondson. I hope someone will say his opponent just so I can get why. I'm voting because he listens. This is so needed now. So tired of people not listening to me, but they represent me.
Right. And I didn't see it, but Rick pointed out when we get to the superintendent question that somebody did say John Cox, and he liked it. He thumbs up it, even though he's a huge Joy supporter, just because there was mm-hmm. a different voice mm-hmm. and they backed it up. And he was like, you know, I liked that right. he was able to back it up.
So. I'm not going to fuss it. It doesn't matter who I like politically. I'm willing to have a conversation with you without being upset. Like, that's okay.
So, right.
Question right. four. Again, with your most important issue in mind, who do you want to be elected state superintendent and why?
So that's a good question. And this is the question right. obviously he was talking about. But I went with Miss Talania here again. Great work, Miss Talania. She says, I know everyone's saying Joy for OK, because she's always been there for us. What has really made me fight for her is when she stood up against Fallon on consolidation. She shows she is not about her political party, and that's what we need everywhere. And I would agree with that. She's about issues and right, not and
she's
politics.
She stood out from Republican Party at times too, with some of her views. So I can appreciate that. And yeah. I remember on the last go around hearing her and Mr. Cox speak, and I have to say I liked both of them at that time. But I think for me, you know, when I vote, I look at how is Joy, you know, basically this. Do I approve of how she's managing what she's been given? Like Superintendent Barisi, I did not appreciate how she managed her position. But Joy Hoffmeister hasn't necessarily done anything where I'm like, oh boy, I can't, like, whew, you know? But also, I think that with the superintendent one, I do like Joy. That's who I would have voted for, or who I did vote for. But I didn't think that Dr. Cox was necessarily a bad choice either. I think this is one of those races where it could have been either one, honestly. And I don't mean that as a slight to anybody. I'm just saying, you know, based on my understanding of the two individuals. So I went with Deborah Thorson, DJ Thorson. She said, Joy, for okay, of course. I see her at PD, at conferences in Oklahoma City. She goes where the action is and stands up to those who want to take from Oklahoma Ed. I know a good thing when we have it, and I want to keep her working for us. And you know what? Yes. And name another politician, political elected figure, who puts their phone number up at every conference and says, you just call me if you have a question.
No, and are you ready for this? So she came and spoke at one of our PDs, and she said that her car has over 500,000 miles on it. And my husband's like, what kind of car does she have? And of course, because she puts her phone number up at every PD, I've got it. And I sent her a text. I was like, hey, by the way, my husband wants to buy whatever kind of car you have. She's got a Toyota Sequoia, and that thing drives. Hey,
she came
everywhere.
To EdCamp East Oklahoma County or whatever it was one time and was there. And I think the driver's side mirror had a situation. So so they just got out the duct tape, and it was...
Listen, would you stop calling out her car?
I know.
500,000 miles on it.
I'm saying, it's doing a great job. Like, and I can appreciate her effort. For sure. And I can appreciate that she engages educators.
Yeah. She's not in a Bentley or...
She engages educators everywhere she can find them. And she's consistently... she's a regular participant in Oklahoma Ed. And you can tell she's reading that stuff because she retweets her favorites. So,
I know I'm retweeted all the time.
Totally appreciate all of that.
Okay, sorry. Question five. What other statewide races are important? Hashtag OklaEd races. Are important OklaEd races.
Changing the font
reading
size.
Thing again. And who do you support in those races? And so there were stop it. Stop it. Do not change the font size on me. There were a lot of great ones here, great tweets that were very specific to some of those, some local things. But I could really appreciate Miss Talanya Norfar on this one again. And she says, I am sure I'm going to be the lone voice in this, but the judicial votes are huge. We can't keep voting keep. We have the highest prison incarceration rate. All issues eventually impact school, and this is a big one. And you know what? When I was sitting in the booth, I was like, man, I didn't do enough research here. Do I keep? Do I not keep? And this tweet right here, it's so impactful because I was not thinking about us having the highest prison incarceration rate.
So here's my question and response.
Go ahead.
Aren't judges following the law?
Well, they're following the law, and it's the jury. Judges don't get to make decisions. The jury makes the decisions. The judges.
But they follow sentencing guidelines that are established by law.
Yes, but there's interpretation there. I mean, I'm not knocking that part. How is it that there are more black people? I know, but there are more black people incarcerated for much longer times than white people when it comes to crack.
Right. I'm not saying there's not an issue. I'm just saying.
You're saying.
You don't tell me what I'm saying. Go ahead. I guess what I'm saying is that when it comes to the issues like you just shared out too, how much also of that is related to being able to have a better legal representation because you can afford it. I mean, I know this is a super sticky wicket, and Talania brings up a very good point. I guess I'm also saying, I think there's got to be some legit, like Sherry said earlier, criminal justice reform here.
Yes, you're so right.
But I'm not trying to knock what Talania said, because she brings up a good point. But how do you vote on judges? I don't follow judgeships.
No, I don't. And that's why I was like, I put keep. But this tweet had me really, really rethinking what I had. I mean, it's too late. I can't go back and undo it. But
so I went with Scott Fettgatter here. And this was actually pretty hilarious because the question is, what other races are important? And he is at Scott OK16. And he said, me. Ha ha ha. Oakland.
Hey.
And you know what? I can appreciate that. My race is important to me because if I'm running for something, it is.
Yes.
So yes. I had a tickle and I chose it. So then we had question six, which was, who are you supporting in your local state representative and or senator race? And this was a conversation for a lot of people about who they were supporting and why. And I didn't feel like I could really pick a winner tweet here because it was a bunch of local.
Yeah, it's a bunch of local.
Things. I will say that there were some educator folks in my part of town that earned some spots in our next legislative body. So I thought that was really interesting.
I am interested in seeing what happens, but I'm also kind of scared to see what happens. There's a lot of new bodies in there. And with that much newness, and Rick said it as well, there's just not a lot of history in there right now. Mm-hmm. And part of that's good. I mean, part of that we needed out, but there's a lot of newness getting ready to possibly, you know, have an effect on our
right.
state constitution, on law, and that is a little scary. We'll just have to be in constant communication
with some of the institutional wisdom is sometimes really important. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I'll be anxious to see how this goes too, because on the one hand, you're like, oh my God, the incumbent, eye roll, barf. But on the other hand, some of that lived experience of being in there, understanding how the sausage gets made. I don't know.
No, and so that was one thing I had said, in the conversation with Rick, like, these freshman legislators are going to be relying on pages. Like, a page, somebody to do research
right.
for them. They're going to be relying a lot because that was one reason I had thought about throwing my hat into the ring the last time around for state representative, because the guy in Sepulpa, Mark McCullough, I'm friends with him, and I actually went and sat down with and had dinner with him. Like, what is it? What would I expect? I'm really worried. I'm very into education. I'm worried about all the other stuff. And he's like, yeah, you are going to have to worry about all of the other stuff now. You can't just go in there on one issue and right. expect to be good. And so I was like, you know what? I appreciate that. And I didn't even give it a second thought after that dinner. Because I don't know about
everything. Yeah, I don't know if I could do it either.
But having a page, those pages tell you about everything and they do the research for you, which is great, but you've got a bunch of freshman legislators that will be relying on people giving them information. I don't know, it's scary. Question seven, in 2019, the Capitol will be full of rookie legislators after the election. How soon is too soon to make contact with your new representative or senator? Hashtag asking for a friend. I thought this was awesome, and you're going to have to listen to Rick's interview to get his answer, because I'm not going to spoil it. I've already spoiled a lot. I went with Madison, and she is at Madison OU Ed. She says it's never too soon to contact representatives. Let them know you can't wait to work with them. You're thankful for them being in office. And so I was like, okay, that's good. I was like, January 1st, and Rick's answer was hilarious. So what about you? What's too soon?
Well, the email address needs to be established or whatever, and then go for it, right? I mean, they're the person you elected, so I know that I'm more hopeful with the person that's now representing my House district, because the previous incumbent termed out and was very poor with his communication to... just one way only. It was just only what he wanted you to hear. And so I'm anxious to see how our new representative works out. So I went with Kristen Atchley here, and she's at Kristen Atchley. She said, minute one, ? So, hey, awesome. We are certifying your election on November 8th or whatever. 12:01 a.m. sends email, you know? Yeah.
Here I am.
Question eight. State question 800 would withhold a portion of the gross production tax dollars for a new reserve fund. Are you for or against this question, and why?
So initially I was like, okay, that's good. But then I was like, I don't know, what's it reserving? And don't we have a rainy day fund? And, you know, and so then when I saw Kristen Geist's answer here, and she is at Katie W. Violin, she says, against, too vague. And I was like, yeah, that's exactly it. That's why
I liked Aaron Baker's. Aaron too Baker's.
Yeah, I went to his Aaron was excellent. Baker's, just so you know.
So he's at Baker Left. And Aaron... I missed you. I'm so glad you're back on a regular basis. He said, against anything that distracts from the real problem, tax cuts resulting in reduction of vital social services. Because remember, we had the whole tax cut trigger in the middle of the recession because we met some arbitrary numbers. Yeah. And, you know, right. In Oklahoma, you just can't do that. Because it just...
not enough money.
It's impossible to get that money back. Virtually impossible. Okay, anyways.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Question 9. State question 801 would allow school districts to take money in their building fund and use it like a general fund. Are you for this question or against it?
Hey, would you like to have heat in your building or teachers in your building? I don't know.
So the green part of me that, you know, I'm still semi-new, and I don't know how long you get to say that. I guess I've never done a budget. How's that for a building before? But part of me was like, yeah. I mean, this goes back to the whole conversation where we're like, you know, if you've got a home budget and you're saving for this vacation and your water heater goes out, you don't keep the vacation money accruing, right? You take that vacation money and you... Right. Buy a hot water heater. And so part of me was like, I like the idea of being able to do that. But the minute we're able to do that, they're like, right. Oh, but now you've got all this money. So anyway, I went with Jason Bings here. And he said, if there were a statewide building fund like our neighbors to the south, this might be a viable option. Then again, why force us to choose facilities over faculty? And
that's what you're bringing asking what you just school said. District to do. And so, hey, guess what? Right. I'm a human and I like to earn money. And so I'm going to go to the school district that can pay me the best. But if that school district is digging way into the building fund to be able to pay for teachers, then dang, it's going to snow in my classroom. Now I'm miserable. In communities that are more affluent and in quote unquote successful, you know, socioeconomically diverse neighborhoods are going to benefit way more than those that are in the quote unquote the hood areas, you know, and the less socioeconomically diverse in our poorer neighborhoods. I mean, this you just can't even, there's zero equity there. We already struggle with equity as it is, right. And there's zero in that. Kimberly Blodgett said, I am opposed to this state question because it lets the legislators off the hook, I think, and it puts on school admin to determine how the money is spent. It's lazy legislation. Bam. I thought that was an excellent response.
It is.
Bonus question. Basically, question 10, Dr. Cobb. Come on. Bonus question. Jeez, we've talked about this before. How do you plan to watch election results come in and or celebrate the end of the election cycle?
So I was one of those super busy people that day. Like, I had bam, 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 things to do. So when I saw Sherry McKinney's tweet, and she is at Sherry R. McKinney on the Twitter sphere, she says, I'll be secretly watching from my phone at our weekly community group meeting. Like, I was at gymnastics, but I was watching from my phone. I was like, refresh, refresh. Oh, darn middle building. Like, refresh, refresh, refresh. Is this right? Refresh, refresh.
Somebody's
refresh.
Mistyping these numbers.
That's funny. They got that wrong.
I tell you, I ended up watching that night. I really got into the 538 discussion on their polling that they do and their aggregate stuff. So if you teach government, the 538, what they do with their poll forecasting is really good. And they're spot on. And they have a podcast that explains what's happening with all. It's really good. And they're pretty, I couldn't tell that they were strongly liberal or strongly conservative. They were saying, like, this is what we do to inform our poll. And so I spent a lot of time watching the 538 needle. And to me, that was fascinating.
I know where their politics lie because I listen to the West Wing Weekly, and they pretty much let it out. But they do a really good job at, I think, letting the numbers tell a story versus letting...
And they try really hard to make sure it's not driven by commentary.
Exactly. Well, I mean...
So I can appreciate that. I liked Kimberly Blanchett again. She said, with lots of wine and snacks, we'll also be watching important governor races in various states. It's a big night. And I think it was. I think it was one of the highest election turnouts in recent history. Was it not? Nationwide?
Yeah.
Like, it rivaled some of our more busy presidential elections, and it was a midterm election. So I thought that was really fascinating.
Right. No, I'm pleased with the numbers. However, like, have you ever seen the memes on, like, Facebook and Twitter? Like, just remember, this guy can vote too. And it's like, you know...
It was unfavorable towards a specific.
You know, it's just like put something on there. Yeah, exactly. This guy can vote too. You're like, oh yeah, probably. So lightning round questions.
You want to explain what Dr. Cobb did here? Okay, so what Dr. Cobb did was he came up with five questions that he made open polls, and I think he gave the polls like a 3-hour shelf life or whatever. So it's a Twitter poll is basically what it is. And if people voted on it, it recorded all that information. So he put together these five questions. He shot them out at the end of the chat. And that's what the lightning round is.
The lightning round had less votes as the night went on, but it might have been just because teachers were putting their phones down, you know. But lightning round question one. Who will Oklahomans elect as governor on Tuesday? And there were 68 votes, and 87% said Drew Edmondson.
Which, as it turns out, was a little bit off if you're using that as sort of a poll of where the state electorate was. So a little off.
A little bit off, yeah.
But there were 12% of those following the chat that chose Kevin Stitt. I thought that was... I found that interesting because... very few educators seem to favor him. So.
Right.
Lightning round. Okay, question two. Who will Oklahomans elect as state superintendent on Tuesday? There were 70 votes for this one, and Joy Hoffmeister had 89%, and that didn't surprise me at all.
No. And she is
right, and she also won her election quite handily. Yeah.
Yeah. Lightning round question 3. Will state question 800 pass? 20% of people said yes. I wonder if those were cynical votes or not. You know, like, we're in Oklahoma, of course it's going to pass. But 80%
said no. And I
don't
think 800 passed. I think only one of them passed?
No.
Only one of the state questions? Was that correct?
There were several. I don't think either one of these passed, right?
I think there were 8 state questions and only one of them passed, which is unusual. Usually the state questions, when they come out, they're sort of popular-ish or borderline popular-ish.
Yeah,
but a lot of these were just heck no.
Right.
So
right.
Question 4?
Yeah,
will state question 801 pass, and that was the legislative one. Or not the legislative one, the moving the funds around school districts locally one. And again, 80% of respondents said no.
That's right. And lightning question 5. Will the new legislature and governor build on what was started in 2018 and increase funding for Okla Ed in 2019? Whew. 48 votes on this one. 77% said yes. And so we will have to just kind of wait.
We're
and
an optimistic
see what happens
bunch,
here.
Us edumacators.
There were still 23 first ones. I was like, yep, hey,
we'll
no,
wait and see.
It's not going to happen. We're done. Yeah.
Boom.
Which is interesting because they thought that Drew would get it. And we knew that there were a lot of educational people that got it. And so the 23% that said no, I wonder why. Because if we were living in our, you know, mm-hmm. happy world, I would have thought, I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, Boom Sauce. Go ahead. Who'd
boom
you choose?
Sauce. I chose Dr. Rick Cobb. He says, as superintendent, I can tell you that I will support any measure that helps with funding. State question 801 does not. And it neither provides more revenue or flexibility. I wouldn't change the state constitution to convert a quarter into 5 nickels. And I thought that was really good. You know, I thought that was a great tweet.
I went with Madison OU Ed. She said, as a pre-service teacher, I would love to become a teacher in Oklahoma. But some of the biggest factors that make me question that are the issues of competitive wages and the old resources in classrooms. Our students deserve better. Shabam.
Right.
Boom sauce.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom. On the next Twitter, we're talking about your episode. You led a chat. It's called Teacher
Action
Research.
Yeah, we'll have to talk
research.
More about it later. Yeah, but not
I
right now because
should.
This was Dr. Cobb's chat.
All right.
Don't forget you can join us every... It's right there on the thing. You just highlighted it. You just highlighted. Join us at 8 p.m. CST.
I know.
Like it's in your handwriting. With a little Aaron on my Google Doc.
CST.
Whatever
standard
time it is
time.
In Chicago, Illinois, in the United States, on Sundays at 8.
No, we're good here. We're good now. We're only not good a couple of months out of the year, and now we're back to good. It's 8 p.m. Central
on Sundays,
Standard Time.
Every Sunday. Every Sunday. And we
on
hope
Sundays.
To see you there.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
All right, educators. You know what to do. Go out and dominate the world.
When you said 30 minutes, I decided to make myself some lunch.
Yeah, for real. But you're not going to get it.
I wish I had been on the gun with the...
But you weren't.
Okay, I'm looking at my tomorrow. Let me look at what my tomorrow looks like. That event really got gaining.
Oh, my Lord.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma. Oklahoma.